Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A geometric form appears. It grows and turns into the letters XYZ Films. Cursive letters appear. Film Science. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. An XYZ Films and Film Science production. In association with Bonneville Films. A starry early evening sky is framed by tree branches. Bats flit around the leafy canopy. A brunette in baggy clothing stares upward, her eyebrows drawn together. She blinks and looks to her right. Her eyes glisten. She shakes her head slightly and brings a beer bottle to her lips. She stands, shoulders slumped, with her back to a one-story house. Light pours out through two open doors. She looks over her left shoulder and shifts her weight from both feet to her left foot and back again. Taking small steps, she turns toward the house with her head down. She hesitates, then slowly walks toward the sliding glass door on the right. She steps inside and slides the door closed. Words appear. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. The brunette sits at the wheel of a dusty Chevrolet muscle car. Her head leans on the headrest. At the light ahead of her, a pickup spews black smoke out of two upright exhaust pipes. She sighs.
The governor called this latest mass shooting a horrific but ultimately unpreventable tragedy. Up next, the weekend movie minute with...
Now, a woman in a hospital bed views TV.
Just look at this goddamn case.
Why don't we turn this off, huh?
The way they shove this country right down the fucking stinker. Keep your gigantic monkey dick out of my good pussy.
The brunette in hospital scrubs sighs heavily and rolls her eyes as she writes in a medical chart. She turns to look at the woman in the bed. The woman lies unmoving. Next, the brunette and a doctor in the hall with a family.
Did she have any last words?
The doctor turns to look at the brunette, who looks from the floor to his face, wide-eyed. Now, in a parking lot, the brunette stops as a car begins to pull out. The car moves again just as she does. They both pause. They both move again and both halt. She waves the car on. Now, in a grocery aisle, a man knocks a bag of snacks on the floor as he walks by. She looks down at the bag as she walks by him. Glaring at him, she picks the bag up and returns it to the shelf. She waits on the 15 items or less checkout line. The woman ahead of her has more than 15 items. Now, the brunette sits at a bar reading a book. A man in a plaid shirt is seated next to her. He cranes his neck to look at her book.
Are you reading the Elsewhere saga?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading King of the Hidden Dark.
Book two, yeah.
Yeah.
I read those a while ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm at the bit. It's like right before the Battle of the...
Tannhauser Gate.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. It's
God.
Really intense.
Yeah, it's so intense. I'm just like, the whole time I feel like...
White snails.
Archers, to me!
Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
It's so fucking good. Yeah.
Smiling, she shakes her head and takes a sip of beer.
It's crazy.
You know her real father is actually the war mage.
She stops drinking and looks at him, then frowns and drops her eyes to the book. She shakes her head slightly, swallows, and blinks.
Yeah. Captain Borgo?
Lady Karen's real father, yeah.
Fuck.
I read that, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's coming up, you'll see. Thank you.
Unsmiling, she bites her thumb as she looks at the book.
Clues were all there if you think about it, but...
He grabs his drinks.
Have a good night.
And walks to his group at a table. Now the brunette pulls her Chevy into a driveway and gets out. On the sparse lawn is a sign that shows a pile of dog poop with a red line through it and the word please. She stops, then grabs a flyer from the door and uses it to pick up poop.
Unbelievable.
Inside, she drops keys and the book on a table, grabs a beer from the fridge, opens it, and drinks. The brunette pauses and looks over her right shoulder, her brow furrowed. She moves to a door and slowly opens it. She peers inside, goes down a step, and walks to her back door, which is unlatched. The brunette grabs the handle and pushes it open. She leans out and looks around. She closes the door as she steps back inside. She walks back up the step and into the kitchen. As she comes through the door, her eyes widen.
The fuck?
To the left of the door, drawers are pulled from their slots in a sideboard and dishes cover the floor. The brunette looks to her right and toward the hall. The front door is ajar. Down the hall, light comes from an open door and a shadow moves across it. She removes a knife from a knife rack. She walks down the hall, holding the knife in front of her. Her silhouette moves closer to the open door. She touches the wall as she walks, her mouth open and her eyes shining. She looks toward the door and pushes it open. A broken gutter dangles from the roof outside in front of the bedroom window. Police process the scene.
Various prescription medications, a laptop computer, and then the silverware in here. Anything else?
Not that I can see, but the silver was my grandma's.
Expressionless, the officer writes on a clipboard.
Were they painkillers?
What? Sorry.
The medications.
No, it was clonazepam. And, Lexapro.
You tried one of those, location apps?
Yeah, I tried that, but the laptop's turned off.
Oh, yeah, well, they'll probably wipe it anyway, let some morons. You ever hide a key, one of those little fake rock thingies?
I don't know.
Okay. You leave that unlocked when you go out?
No, not usually, no.
But you did today.
I don't remember. I mean,
I'm just saying that.
I think I locked it.
It wasn't a forced entry, though. So.
The brunette looks at the detective, opens her mouth, knits her brow, and looks away. Next, in the driveway, the detective walks toward the driver's side door.
So, what should I do now?
About what?
I mean, do you call me, or?
Oh, yeah. If anything is recovered, someone will be in contact. Your case number's on that form if you have renter's insurance.
The detective nods.
But you're gonna look, right?
Miss, we will do everything we're able to. In the meantime, I suggest you pay a little closer attention to your home security. Don't give them an opening.
The detective gets in the car.
Okay, thank you.
The detective's car pulls away. The brunette walks along the sidewalk as the black car follows a police car around a corner. Now, she re-enters the house. She closes the door behind her. The brunette hesitates, then she locks the door. Later, she kneels on the floor and picks up pieces of a shattered plate. She turns and looks down a dark hallway, breathing deeply. The brunette hangs her head. Then she pulls her phone from her back pocket and dials. She brings it to her ear.
Hey, I'm not bothering you, am I?
An orange haze fills the night sky.
It's the violation, man. The stuff that's replaceable. The silver's not, but the thing that really hurts, you know, is the fucking violation. I mean, these people were inside my house.
A young girl lies in bed, her long curly hair parted in the middle. She stares at the brunette. The brunette holds a book.
I'm sorry. All right.
She reads.
Rays from some stars are thousands of years old before they reach your eyes. Human bodies are made of dust and gases from inside of stars. The universe is 14 billion years old. No one knows what came before. No one knows how big the universe actually is. It could be infinite.
The girl sits up.
Mom!
I'm sorry.
She's fine, don't worry about it. She's just, you know, five, not used to talking about death yet.
I'm so sorry.
A fucked up thing happened to you. You're allowed to be upset.
A blonde woman sits with a small case.
Patient died today. I was in the room.
She was special, huh?
The blonde offers something. The brunette brings a lighter to her mouth.
No. She sucked.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, she's a real shithead.
The brunette inhales from a small glass pipe. She holds her hand out with her palm facing up.
But it doesn't matter.
The brunette hands the blonde the pipe and lighter.
They'll roll her out, and she'll become smoke. Just carbon. My grandma Sally, that was her silver that they stole, you know?
Yeah.
She literally breathed life into people who'd been exploded. She was a war nurse. Spent her retirement bringing dinner to folks with cancer. And then she had a stroke. And she was just carbon too. And now I'm the only one who remembers any of that. And pretty soon I'll just be carbon. So none of it matters.
It does matter. She did happen, so.
The way people treat each other is just, they're disgusting. They're disgusting. The fucking taking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Ruthie, I mean, you gotta stop.
And taking is mine.
Ruthie, stop.
Ruth covers her face with her hands.
You're gonna make yourself sick.
The blonde woman stares at Ruth. She cocks her head.
You got it better than a lot of people. You know that, right?
Ruth nods slightly. She closes her open mouth, then tilts her head.
But everyone is an asshole.
Not everyone.
Yes, and dildos.
That's not true. That is not true.
Fuckfaces.
Ruthie.
So what? It's just a sneeze. It's just a... chemistry and math and, so what?
Sweetie, come on.
Sometimes I feel like I'm, like, underneath a whirlpool and, like, I can't even breathe. Like, I'm just...
A man enters the house. He carries a bag over his shoulder and walks into the living room.
Internet date?
I know Ruthie's house got robbed.
What? That's terrible.
The man opens a window in the dining room. The blonde woman looks toward the kitchen. Ruth lowers her gaze.
Do you mind if I sleep here?
Oh my God, of course. Dan will make up the couch. Right, honey?
Dan bites a sandwich. Now, sunlight shines over a trampoline near a wooden fence. Inside, Ruth lies on the couch. The girl holds a drawing near Ruth's face. Ruth sits up. The girl stares at her. Ruth takes the drawing.
Oh.
A figure stands on a green creature.
This is me?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a dragon?
Stegosaurus.
Ruth holds up the drawing. Then she lowers it.
Fucking love it.
The girl smiles. Next, Ruth drives. Sunlight shines into her car. Ruth gets out of her parked car and walks across her driveway toward the front door. She stops and looks to the ground. Ruth turns. A piece of dog poop lies on her grass. Ruth lifts her gaze. She turns around. In the distance, a man walks his dog. Ruth grabs a flyer from her door and picks up the poop. The man brings a bottle of soda to his mouth. Ruth marches behind him. She throws the flyer filled with the poop in front of him. The man turns around. He pulls his earbuds from his ears.
You've been shitting in my yard. I have not.
Your dog. Okay, I saw you. There is a sign there. It says no shitting.
It says that?
It's a picture. Okay, it's like a little poop with a... That's what it means.
Well, yeah, I didn't see it.
You shouldn't need a sign. What is wrong with you?
The man nods.
Fine.
He turns and picks up the wrapped poop. The man leads his dog away. Ruth stares. Now she enters the house. Ruth sweeps broken plates into a trash bin. She wipes the bathroom floor. A drill secures a lock into place. Ruth walks out of her back door. She closes a rusted lock on a gate. Then she walks along a fence. Christmas lights hang on the inside of the fence. Ruth spots a shattered bulb. She grabs it. Her eyes dart left and right. She lets go of the bulb. Then Ruth looks down, her mouth opens. A footprint marks the mud. Ruth stares down at it. She walks away from the fence. Now, Ruth walks through an aisle in a store. She scans the items. Ruth stops and grabs a case of plaster of Paris. A woman darts in front of Ruth and places her things on the checkout belt. In her kitchen, Ruth mixes the plaster in a bowl on the counter. Outside, she pours the plaster over the footprint. The milky liquid covers the print. Ruth turns away from the print. She holds her hands together at her waist. Later, she places the mold on the kitchen counter. Ruth stares down at it. She strokes the toe section with her thumb. Ruth lifts her gaze to the ceiling. Now she exits the front door and walks on the path. Ruth marches down the sidewalk. She looks over her shoulder. In front of a house.
Yeah?
Hi, sir. My house got robbed yesterday.
Suspicious?
Furtive. Sneaky. I know what furtive is.
Yeah, this Dominican fella came around here this morning with a push mower.
Son of bitches.
That's what I thought. I
told him I could take care of my own lawn, thanks, but good try.
I'll tell you something.
Why don't you leave me your number? I'm by thinking of something.
Ruth nods. An elderly man sucks from a pouch.
What is it?
Oh, it's just some regular yogurt you can sip on.
I'm sorry that happened, but I don't know anything to tell you. Okay.
Now, a man rides a bike past Ruth as she walks on a road. She stops and scans the area. Ruth walks up a path to a house. Unkempt plants fill the front yard. A swing hangs from the ceiling of the porch. Ruth knocks. She places her head near the door. Ruth looks over her shoulder. Then she walks off the porch and starts through the front yard. Ruth looks around the side of the house. She walks along a path between a bare tree and a large bush. Ruth scans the disorderly yard. Now Ruth nears a gate to the backyard. Gloved hands lift a weighted barbell on a bench.
Excuse me?
A man lifts the weights onto the rack. He sits up and wipes his face with a cloth. It's the man with the dog. He puts on his glasses. Ruth and the man meet eyes.
I said I was sorry.
Said, fine.
The implication being that
okay,
I meant...
Okay, never mind. Never mind. Don't...
Hey! Wait up. Look, that's not me. Leaving a BM in your yard, that's not who I am. I was embarrassed. Sometimes I just get so deep in my thoughts, you know? Like, deep. And I don't even notice what Kevin's doing.
Ruth's eyes dart from left to right. Kevin, the dog, looks out of the window.
Forget it.
Ruth turns and starts to walk out of the backyard.
You can hit me.
What?
One strike to balance the energy between us. I won't defend myself.
Okay.
Why are you here?
Ruth turns back.
My house got robbed.
When?
Yesterday.
Did you call the authorities?
Yeah.
don't know. It seemed like they couldn't really do anything, so I'm just asking around, you know, seeing if anyone saw anyone or...
What did they take?
They took my computer. And they took my grandma's silver, which is really what...
He grabs nunchucks and swings them, hitting a plywood board.
Anjing! Anjing!
That makes me so furious!
The man paces. Ruth stares agape.
I'm sorry to have bothered you.
No, you did not bother me. This affects all of us. Kevin, stop it!
Okay, so... See ya, bye, Kevin. Bye.
Is there anything I can do?
I think I got it. Thank you for everything.
Ruth walks away. The man stares after her. He lowers his gaze. At home, Ruth reads a book on the couch. She grabs a beer from the table and sips. She places the beer on a coaster on the table. Then she turns a page. Ruth flips through the book and sets it down. She swings her legs off of the couch to the floor and sits on the edge. Ruth grabs her phone from the table. She sets it back down. The screen reads, "Locating Ruth's laptop." Ruth stands, grabs her beer, and takes a swig. She walks a few steps, then stops and turns around. Standing in place, Ruth sways. She holds the bottle close to her chest with both hands. Her head swings loosely. Ruth turns. She completes a full circle. Ruth's eyes open wide. She turns around. Ruth grabs her phone. The phone's light glows on Ruth's face. She stares at a point on a map. A message.
Holy shit.
Ruth's laptop located, 129 Grove Street.
Fuck.
She dials a landline phone.
You reached Detective Bendix with Robert.
Ruth holds her hand on her forehead. She stares at the phone.
Okay.
Ruth dials.
Hello, yes, okay. My, laptop was stolen, and I can see it.
So it's not stolen?
No, it's still stolen. My phone, you know, my phone is saying where it is. I have the address, so I need somebody to go there before they, like, turn it off or whatever,
We can include that information in your report, but we cannot send units out at this time. Would you like to include that information in the report?
What? What? Why?
They need a search warrant to dispatch units for this.
No, because you don't have to search.
We cannot send units out at this time.
No, because I can... I know.
Ma'am?
It's right here, okay? It's on
Ma'am?
My fucking phone. I'm looking at it. I can give you the address. It's on my fucking phone.
Please.
It is on my fucking phone.
We can include that information in the report, but we cannot send units out at this time.
Ruth bangs the counter. She holds her head in her hands. On the phone, an icon designating Ruth's position blinks. Night. A pair of perpendicular street signs mark a corner. East 11th and Grove Street. Ruth's car drives slowly on the empty street. She parks. Ruth reaches toward her center console. She composes herself, then she checks her phone. Outside, two men, a redhead and a blonde, party. The blonde holds a watermelon.
You got a watermelon!
Ruth watches. The blonde runs past one of the men doing push-ups. The melon sits on a pool table. Ruth stares. She turns to open the door, then looks back. A man aims a makeshift weapon. Ruth speeds off. In a bathroom, Ruth's image appears on a phone. Dan grabs it. He looks away, then brings the phone to his ear.
Hey, Angie's closing tonight.
Actually, I was
kind of wondering what you were up to.
Me?
Dan and Angie's daughter sits in the tub. Shampoo covers her head.
What's up?
You know what? It's nothing. Don't. Never mind. I need backup.
Okay.
You got those ninja sticks?
Nunchaku is an Okinawan weapon.
Fine, great.
Ninjas, as you call them, are Japanese. I've got a better idea. Are you familiar with the Morning Star?
No, I just...
Lights out.
Great. I just need you to ride with me.
Right on.
I'm Ruth.
Tony.
Nice to meet you.
Cool.
Now, Ruth parks in front of the party house. Tony sits in the passenger seat.
There.
The shooter stands in front of the doorway smoking a cigarette. Tony reaches into his shirt. He pulls out a necklace and clutches it with both hands.
Oh, Father, Lord in heaven, grant me this day.
Ruth stares at Tony. Kevin stands in the back seat. Tony tucks the necklace back into his shirt and grabs a chain mace from the dashboard. Next, they walk toward the house.
Were you praying?
You asked for help. I asked for help. That's how things get done. Don't worry. I won't let anything happen to you.
Ruth and Tony approach the door. The shooter stares at them. He lowers his cigarette. Ruth faces forward. Her eyes shift.
My computer is inside that house.
Say what?
Smoke wafts from the shooter's mouth. Ruth pulls her phone from her pocket and holds it up. The shooter steps away from the door and tosses his cigarette. He walks down from the small porch. He stares at Ruth's phone.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Okay. We don't want any trouble. My computer was stolen, and this says that it's in there. I just want it back. There's no questions. So, can you get it?
Ruth pockets her phone.
I can get these nuts.
You can get these nuts?
All right, tough guy. You had your chance.
Oh, jeez.
The shooter grabs Tony's mace. Its ball swings and hits the shooter in the face.
God. Are you okay?
Tony picks up the mace. The shooter staggers inside. A young man sits at the laptop.
Dude, what'd you do to Keith?
Tony flings a throwing star.
Dude.
Tony lights a smoke bomb.
Fuck you, dude! Yo! 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 Whoa! Stop!
Ruth holds out her phone.
Super inappropriate, man.
Shit.
Ruth walks forward and closes the laptop. She takes it. The young man looks up at her.
Actually, I need the power cord.
The blonde woman wraps the power cord. She hands it to Ruth.
Thank you.
Ruth steps away from the group.
It doesn't feel very good when people you don't know come into your house and steal your shit, does it? Now, where's the silver and the medicine?
I got some Theraflu, but no silver. And I didn't steal that. I paid good money for it.
Ruth lowers her gaze. She glances at Tony, then back to the young man.
What are you talking about?
I bought it.
You bought it? From where?
Killer Seals.
What is that?
Consignment shop out the way. Dracula looking motherfucker, he'll sell you anything.
She got her first communion bracelet there.
It's very pretty. Does he have silverware?
The group shrugs.
Okay.
Ruth steps forward.
Write it down.
I can drop a pen for you.
No, man, on paper.
The young man grabs a napkin and finds a pen on the messy table. Ruth turns. The redhead stares and cocks her head. Ruth's gaze moves back to the young man who finishes writing the address. He hands it to Ruth. She takes it and nods. Then she nods to the group.
Thank you.
Blood covers the shooter's mouth. Ruth leaves. Tony walks to the wall. He grabs his lodged throwing star. He places his mace hand on the wall for support and tugs.
That's how hard I threw it.
Tony leaves the house. He jumps off the porch and follows Ruth. Smiling, he walks alongside her. He turns. She turns and smiles at him. Inside, the young man and blonde share a look. Ruth faces forward. Tony turns forward. Inside the car, Kevin barks. At home, Ruth dances. She holds a beer and drinks from a bottle of whiskey. She offers the bottle to Tony, who also dances. He takes it and drinks. Tony winces. He hands the bottle back to Ruth. She drinks. Tony plays with Kevin. Ruth dances. Ruth dances with Kevin. She jumps in the air. Tony does a jumping kick. Then he dances, swinging his feet back and forth. Ruth dances over to Tony. They bounce around the living room. Ruth dances on the table. She swings her head back and forth. Kevin walks over to the dancing pair. The mold of the shoe print sits on an end table.
Oh, yeah.
A thin man squats atop an open toilet tank. A strip of tape covers the toe of his shoe sole. His pants rest below his exposed knees. Blonde highlights color the man's hair. He lifts his head from the wall and pulls at a roll of toilet paper. He tears off a bundle and wipes his bottom. Next, he pulls up his pants and climbs down off the toilet. He places the lid back on the toilet's open water tank. Now he opens a jewelry case. He grabs a necklace, examines it, and pockets it. Then, he grabs a pearl bracelet. The thin man looks at his reflection in a mirror. His lips turn into a smile. The smile grows wider. He opens his mouth and mimes a scream. Now he walks into a second floor hall.
The guest bathroom is downstairs.
It's okay, it was an emergency.
The thin man continues down the hall. A woman watches him through an archway. The thin man descends a staircase and re-enters a party on the first floor. He glances into a kitchen where people mingle. Then, he walks toward a living area where others gather. He hesitates. The thin man turns around and walks back toward the kitchen. Now he opens a door and walks outside. He looks through a window at people chatting. A bearded man runs into his path.
Hey there. You're guest of Miranda's, right?
Right. John, you guys have a beautiful home.
Remind me, how do you know Miranda again?
From work. She's been a great mentor. I'm learning so much.
I'm going to call the police.
Come on, man.
The bearded man glances up from his phone.
Oh, there you are. Come on.
He turns and the thin man attacks. Now the thin man walks briskly. The thin man gets into a van. He drives off. Now, the van's headlights illuminate a wooden sign. A map of a park is carved into the wood. The van parks. The lights shut off. The thin man gets out. He walks around the front of the van. He scans the darkness, then walks into the forest. The thin man ventures into the dense vegetation. He stumbles. A woman stands in the nearby brush. She brings a cigarette to her lips.
Marshall.
The woman steps forward, startling the thin man. She cocks her head.
This way.
She turns. The thin man follows. At a campfire, a man, Marshall, heats a glass pipe with a lighter. He brings it to his lips. Thick sideburns cover his face. From the woods, the woman walks toward the flickering campfire. The thin man follows. Marshall combs his hair back over his head. The woman and the thin man arrive at the camp. With her cigarette in her mouth, she lies down next to the fire. Marshall turns and the thin man squats. He places the pearl bracelet in Marshall's open hand. The thin man reaches into his jacket. Marshall watches. The thin man places a ring in his hand. Marshall studies it. He opens his hand again. The thin man gives him the necklace. Marshall examines it. The woman watches. Three star tattoos mark her forehead.
cooking with gas.
Marshall rubs the thin man's chin. Then he tousles his hair. Marshall locks eyes with the woman. He turns to the thin man.
We're almost there, my monkeys.
A ceiling fan turns. Ruth steps forward. She looks down at Tony, who sleeps on the couch with his mouth open. Later at a table, they eat breakfast. Ruth glances away as she chews. Then her eyes dart back to Tony. She turns over the address napkin and slides it across the table to Tony. He stares at it, then looks up at Ruth. She meets his gaze with her own. On the floor, Kevin sits up. Tony nods. Ruth nods. Now, a sign on a chain link fence reads, Sills Salvage Consignment. Buyers mill about the salvage yard. Ruth pulls her car into the yard. She reverses. Tony and Ruth get out of the car. Ruth walks around the car. Now, she and Tony walk toward the consignment stalls.
Maybe we should hold hands.
Ruth turns.
Like we're engaged.
She stares at Tony.
Okay.
Ruth and Tony interlock fingers. Next, they walk up steps and enter a shop. Ruth leads Tony through the cluttered space. She looks downward.
What are you doing, little guy?
A raccoon. They pass a discarded carousel horse and turn past an armoire.
There you are, you son of a bitch. Stay on.
The elderly shop owner tinkers at a desk.
What the hell is this here?
Good afternoon.
Wearing a magnifying headlamp visor, he slowly looks up.
Hi. Yes, hello. We were just wondering,
He points to an organ keyboard.
You like music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Five preset tones. Three! Unique! Demo mode.
That's
okay,
so great.
We don't really need.
We just.
Here. Really, thank you.
And?
No, thank you.
And?
Huh.
Okay, we're really just looking for some antique silver service.
The shop owner looks from left to right.
You don't like music. You can just say so.
Tony nods.
Silver. Silver coins, silver polish, silver bullets.
Is your newer stuff in any particular place, or...?
They're antiques.
Yeah, I just mean,
Got a question?
The elderly man walks back toward his desk. Tony scans a shelf full of junk. Ruth walks a few steps. She touches the corner of a case, then she turns to an adjacent shelf. She leans down for a better view and scans the shelf. Tony continues searching. Ruth squats. Tony rummages a shelf. Ruth moves a candle holder and finds a wooden case. She slides it forward. She opens it. An older woman with short hair holds a cigarette. Sunlight illuminates her. A young girl sits on a couch next to her. The woman wears a brooch, turtleneck, and blazer. Ruth closes the case. Her eyebrows draw together, tears well in her eyes. She turns. Ruth approaches Tony with the case.
This is it.
Are you sure?
Sally Kimke.
Ruth shifts the case to one arm. She hands Tony the car keys.
Go start the car.
Ruth nods. Then Tony nods.
Okay.
Tony turns and walks away. Ruth looks down at the case. Tony passes the thin man.
I'm here for these. Fine.
Well, they were my mom's.
Show taken too regularly enough.
Tony rushes past the carousel horse and out of the shop. Now, The thin man's van sits next to Ruth's car. Tony opens the door and gets inside.
Okay.
Tony turns the key. He looks at the van. Marshall winks. Tony smiles weakly. In the shop, Ruth holds the open case. She walks forward through the cluttered aisle. Ruth passes the desk and notices the thin man's taped shoe.
Thanks a lot for your time.
Ruth turns. She stares at the taped shoe.
You're going to Las Vegas?
Yeah, we're going to lose it in Las Vegas.
The thin man walks out of the shop. Ruth follows him.
Hey! Hey, lady, come on back here!
Outside, the thin man puts something in his pocket as he leaves. Then he turns a corner. Ruth follows a few paces behind.
Hey, come back here! Hey! Hey, lady! You didn't pay for that!
This is stolen property!
No!
The shop owner grabs Ruth's arm. She turns.
Oh, God, sir. I did, are you okay? I did.
You hit me.
The shop owner grabs Ruth's hands. She holds up her hand. Her broken ring finger juts out to the side. Tony throws a punch. Ruth's mouth hangs open. The shop owner lies on the ground. Onlookers scatter. Tony picks up the silverware and the case. Ruth shuffles with her mouth agape. She points at the van as it drives away. Ruth hangs her head. Tony puts his arm around her. Now, a doctor tapes a splint around Ruth's finger.
Caught in the mail slot, huh?
Yes. Yep.
Must have really slammed it hard.
Yeah, slammed the shit out of it.
The doctor hands Ruth a package of Percocet.
Be careful with these. No alcohol, no driving.
Ruth swallows the pills. Now, Tony drives.
Pivot on the ball of your foot and snap your hips out at the same time. That transmits a huge amount of power outward through the leg. It's devastating when deployed correctly.
Ruth stares out of the window. On the street, a woman throws a shoe at a man.
What are we doing?
Whatever you want.
What are we doing here in the world?
Trying to be good. Be better.
What about me? Am I good?
Yeah. Of course you are.
I clubbed an old man.
Right, but in combat situations, you're
so sorry.
Sorry? I should be thanking you.
Ruth turns to Tony.
I don't really have too many friends. I've been told I'm obnoxious, but today I felt electric.
I don't want to die.
You won't.
Ruth furrows her brow.
Not right now.
She looks out of the window.
It's just gonna be black.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will, Tony. It's just gonna be like when you turn off a TV.
Tony stares at Ruth.
Hey, if you want, I was gonna catch an afternoon service. I think you'd like it. Minister's so funny. Red Bill, should be a stand-up. I know.
Ruth continues to stare out of the window. Now she enters a church. The world. People sit in pews. A man sits at a piano. Ruth looks at a painting of a multiracial group standing in a meadow. She stands in the center aisle. Ruth blinks. The minister's mouth matches the music. Ruth turns. She steps into a pew and sits. The minister speaks. Ruth shifts her hand toward Tony's. He turns and gazes at her. He touches her pinky finger with his. Light shines. Now, Ruth, Tony, and Kevin walk down the street together. A man on a bike rides past them in the opposite direction. Every lie you've Next, Ruth and Tony sit on a couch. A beam of sunlight shines through the window. Ruth lays her head on Tony's shoulder. He turns. Tony places his head on Ruth's. Now the thin man studies a prescription bottle. He takes a pill. The tattooed woman lies nearby. She looks up. Marshall counts cash in the front seat of the van. He lifts his head. The group gets out of the van. Bikers gather outside of a warehouse. The thin man and tattooed woman follow Marshall. He approaches a tall, bald man. Bald man turns and wipes his nose. He looks Marshall up and down.
Y'all been sleeping in that van over there?
No.
Really? Because one of you three stinks.
It's pork chops. We just dropped your mom off.
The bald man glares at a woman in his posse. She hangs her head. The bald man stares at Marshall. He nods. Then he turns to his pickup truck. Marshall watches. The bald man grabs a bag from a toolbox. He walks past Marshall.
Come on, you fucking comedian.
The bald man approaches the van. Marshall opens the side door. The bald man tosses the bag inside. The thin man and tattooed woman watch nearby. Marshall examines a pistol. He pulls a shotgun from the bag.
God damn. Jesus, you get this one out of a fucking shipwreck?
It's a stick-up, not brain surgery. You get what you pay for and you can barely pay for that.
Marshall extends his hand. The bald man snatches a wad of cash. He thumbs through it and puts it in his pocket.
I'm glad that we could finally...
Marshall's dentures fly onto the pavement.
Bring my mom into it.
The bald man steps over Marshall. The tattooed woman holds back the thin man. He pulls his arm free. The bald man glares as he walks away. A pair of motorcycles drive away from the warehouse. The tattooed woman picks up the dentures and rinses them with soda. The thin man helps Marshall to his feet. Holding his cheek, Marshall takes his teeth from the tattooed woman and puts them back in his mouth. Marshall raises his eyebrows with a shrug. Now, Ruth lies on the couch. She stirs. She sits up. Ruth moves a blanket off of her leg. Then she looks down at her broken finger. She tries to close her hand. On the table, three slices of cheese sit next to a soda. A napkin reads, "Ruth, enjoy. Tony."
How's the finger?
Tony stands in a doorway eating a bowl of cereal.
Those fuckers got away.
What about the tag number?
I didn't get the tag number, so...
Oh, I did.
Ruth stares at Tony.
Didn't I say that?
No.
I did.
Tony eats a scoop at a computer.
It's all just ones and zeros. Binary data connected by threads like a web.
Yeah, I mean, it's called the web.
Just gotta know how to dodge the spiders.
Ruth spots a book, King of the Hidden Dark, on Tony's bed. She grabs it.
Dude. I'm reading this one.
Don't tell me what happens. I hate that.
You're so sly. That's so lie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. There's a glitch. That needed a reboot anyway.
I didn't really see anything.
Tony types.
Open sesame.
He searches. Look up license plate. Ruth watches. An official license plate directory appears.
Need a credit card.
Tony turns to Ruth. She reaches into her pocket. Tony resumes typing. He clicks the mouse. Kevin closes his mouth. Tony leans closer to the screen.
Gotcha.
A registration record appears on the screen. Ruth looks over Tony's shoulder.
Christian Rumack.
At the police station, the detective examines the shoe mold. Ruth sits at his desk. He takes a pencil from a holder and lifts up the mold. He looks under it. He lets it fall. Ruth quirks her lip. The detective nods.
Wow. That's something. That's something. What do you do, Miss Kimke?
I'm a nursing assistant.
He nods.
Now, suppose I came down to where you do that. The hospital.
It's a post-op facility.
Okay. But suppose I came down there and I said, you know, maybe not that medication, Ruth. Maybe this one instead, don't you think?
No, that's not what I meant.
You present a certainty that the owner of a vehicle you happen to see at a garage sale is the same individual who burglarized your home. And that his foot, according to this, is made out of scrambled eggs.
No, sir, that is not... Okay, so... I located my
computer. Right, I understand the chain of events as you tell them.
Okay.
Did it not occur to you that the people who had your computer in the first place were the same ones that broke into your home?
Yeah, but...
Occam's razor and whatnot.
Yeah, what?
Did it not occur to you that approaching a criminal suspect without official capacity is a good way to get your wig knocked off? Let me see your hand. Can I see it?
Nothing.
Can I see it? That's what I thought. Yeah. What happened to your finger? Ruth, look at me. Were you engaged in a confrontation?
No, it was an accident.
Have you been able to replace your medications?
I see.
I'll take that as a no.
Okay.
The detective slides the mold back to Ruth. Blinking, he puts his glasses in his pocket.
I mean, why do you not want to help me?
Help you?
Yeah, isn't it your job?
A job?
Yeah.
I am doing my job. You asking me about my job right now?
Yeah, I'm coming in here.
You come into my workplace and you ask me about my job?
Mm-hmm.
You think just because you left your door wide open for some punk to stroll right in that the universe now somehow revolves around you? Well, grow up. We had a man beaten unconscious in his driveway.
That's awful.
Now, yes, awful. And now, Ruth, he has skull fragments in his brain. The world is bigger than your silverware. People are experiencing bigger problems. There are people out there.
The detective points a finger at Ruth. She averts her gaze. He grabs a pack of tissue.
Emma.
A pair of detectives watch nearby. He pulls a tissue from the package.
I'm being divorced. First time I said it out loud.
Ruth touches his hand.
Sir, I'm very...
Move it. Move the hand.
The detective moves the tissues.
Go home, Ruth.
Ruth places a printout of the registration in front of the detective.
This is the guy.
No, it is not. And if you engage in vigilante action or mess around with this again, I will be a bigger problem than your busted finger. Do you follow me?
Ruth leaves the station. Tony waits in the car. He sits up as she approaches. Ruth marches around a police car. She tosses the mold in the back seat. Ruth opens the door and gets inside.
What now?
She turns to Tony. Now, in a supermarket, a man drops an item.
Pick your shit up.
Ruth grabs a box of cereal with a junior G-Man badge inside. She walks in front of another customer.
Excuse me.
Outside, Tony waits in the car. He turns. Ruth walks across the parking lot. She dumps handfuls of cereal on the ground. Tony watches. She takes the bag from inside of the box. Tony shakes his head. She dumps out the cereal and holds up the badge. Next, Ruth speeds down a winding road. Later, Later, they sit outside of a stately stone house.
Must have robbed a ton of houses.
A sports car is parked near the entrance doors. Tall lampposts stand over the front lawn, which is adorned with intricate willow sculptures of exotic animals. Ruth and Tony walk up the driveway. Ruth stares at a lawn tiger made of willow branches. A woman opens the door.
Oh, excuse me, I just was...
Ruth flashes the badge.
Good morning, ma'am. I
was... Police!
May we have a moment of your time?
Well, I don't see why not.
The woman, holding a drink in her hand, smiles broadly.
Come on in.
Welcome to my home. Make yourselves comfortable. Go on in the sitting room, sitting on one of those couches. They're kind of new. They're real comfortable. Can I get you a cup of coffee?
Not necessary.
No, thank you.
It's no trouble. I just press the button on the machine. Boop! It'll make a cappuccino, too. It's like AI, like a spaceship.
Do you have cashew milk?
In case. I think I can find something.
Ruth looks at Tony and shrugs.
Any kind of nut milk is good. I like nut milk. You know my niece Cameron, she can't have dairy, so I always have, like, hazelnut milk, or, you know, they do this Brazil nut thing now. It's actually pretty good.
I need to speak with Christian Rumack. Is he here?
Well, he is still out with his friends. I expect him back God knows when. Talk about what?
Ruth and Tony look toward the kitchen from the massive living room.
Choices he made?
Well, I ought to make sandwiches then, because that could take all day.
Tony glances at Ruth.
Like sandwiches?
Tony and Ruth sit.
You hungry?
She pours wine into a coffee cup.
I'm never hungry. I used to get hungry a lot, but I don't really get hungry anymore. Okay, here we go. Here you go, sweetie, with that nut milk.
She hands Tony a cup.
Oh. Thank you.
Here you go.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
The woman sits on a couch across from Tony and Ruth.
So I was just wondering...
The machine did this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Huh. I worked at Borders for a while.
Tony sips.
The bookstore?
Yeah, but they had a cafe, too. I got pretty good with the steamer.
Mm.
Could do smiley faces, winking faces,
certain kinds of centaurs, oak leaves... Snowman, Diagram of an Atom, Flaming Swords, Kevin.
Quite a skill. Do you know Christian's whereabouts the day before yesterday?
Well, honey, I barely know his whereabouts any day.
But he does have a job.
Well, some would say that's all he has.
The woman nods. Ruth looks at the ceiling.
What's he do?
Lawyer. You know.
Tony turns to Ruth. The woman leans forward and winks.
Is he in his van now?
No. That's Chris Jr. you're talking about. Yeah, Christian got him that van for his 16th if he got all B's.
He flunked. But he got to keep it anyway. Just saying.
The woman leans back.
Do you know where your son is now?
Oh, whoa, stepson. I have no idea where he is.
Ruth and Tony share a look.
He got into drugs. He was in jail a little bit for that. And then he started hanging around with all the people he met in there. Bunch of creeps. His father recently cut him off. Canceled his ATM cards. Everything. You know, TMI, Chrissy always made me kind of nervous, even before all that. Did you ever see The Omen?
Two men enter.
That little kid? Never know. Just throw you down a stairs.
What the hell is this?
Oh, well, the police are asking about Chrissy.
The woman nods at Ruth and flicks her hair.
Is that your shit box out front?
Yes.
Red light, hands!
Tony throws up his hands. His cup flies.
Get him up!
People,
now!
Can you...
An armed man frisks Ruth and Tony.
Don't move.
Oh, my God.
The woman sits with her arms crossed.
Clear!
Of course it's clear.
Meredith.
What?
Yes. Are you retarded? Clear.
What? Meredith turns.
Don't you dare use the R word around me.
That's the bedroom. Clear. Those are not police.
Yeah, I know that.
Tony and Ruth share a look.
Then why are you talking to them?
Because I'm fucking bored.
Massage room, clear.
The guard moves across a balcony.
You are lucky. All we're doing is talking.
Don't flatter yourself, baby.
Walden Pond Room!
Well, I guess I will just get some soda for the rug.
Meredith leaves the living room. Tony and Ruth continue to hold their hands up.
We're all clear.
The man holsters his gun. Chris walks into the living room from the kitchen. He holds a glass with a raw egg in it.
Come home to the shit.
He sits on the couch across from Tony and Ruth.
Okay.
Chris zips his pants closed. He gestures for them to drop their hands.
Who are you?
My name is Ruth.
And why are you here?
Your son broke into my house and stole my stuff.
Knock it off! Oh, what?
Meredith opens cabinets in the kitchen.
What does that have to do with me?
I thought he lived here.
So you impersonate cops, why?
To find him, in case he wasn't here.
To what end?
Tony turns to Ruth.
To confront him?
Chris raises his eyebrows.
How dare you? Wah? Wah? Like that?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. You can't do that to people.
Chris smirks.
You say that like it means something. Look, I don't condone my son's behavior, but anyone can do anything if you let them. Huh? Welcome to the world.
I see why he turned out like he did.
Chris stares at Ruth.
You have kids?
Ruth shakes her head.
So you have no idea what you're talking about, do you? Christian has had more advantages and opportunities than 99.9% of the people on this planet. And that's because of me. So don't come to me with this nature-nurture horse shit. All right? How much?
Ruth shakes her head and drops it. Her mouth hangs open.
I don't want a payoff.
Well, then I'm confused. What do you want?
For people to not be assholes.
Chris swallows. He stifles a smile. Meredith enters the living room with a bottle and cloth.
Mm-hmm.
She turns the bottle over into the cloth.
Well, you know, it's probably gonna stain.
Meredith kneels on the rug near Tony.
Are you gonna shoot us?
It'll be so goddamn dramatic.
Then we'll leave.
Ruth stands. She walks past Chris and the guard. Tony follows. He turns back.
Thanks for the cappuccino. The phone was amazing.
You work very well.
Chris shoves Tony toward the door. He and the guard follow them out. Ruth walks out of the front door with Tony just behind. Chris stands in the doorway.
You can tell yourself you've done something here.
If that'll help. Really took a stand.
You know what? Guys like that, that's just unhappiness eating him up. You ought to feel sorry for him.
Tony opens the car door. Ruth walks to the driver's side. She leans on the closed door. Ruth looks down. She walks away from the car. Inside, Tony looks over his shoulder, then out of the window. Ruth marches onto the lawn. She kicks an elephant sculpture. Then she pulls off the stick trunk and swings it at the sculpture. She throws the trunk.
Not the giraffe! Not the giraffe!
Ruth turns away from the giraffe and picks up the tiger.
Put the tiger down!
Ruth carries the tiger sculpture in one arm.
Ruth, no.
Ruth returns to the car. She opens the door.
Ruth, you gotta put that back.
I'm taking him.
Why?
Ruth closes the door. She reverses. Now, Ruth speeds down a road. Marshall and the tattooed woman watch from the van on an adjacent road. Inside, Marshall turns to Christian in the back seat.
The fuck?
I mean, fuck it. Let's just do this. She's finally there now.
I'm not doing a damn thing until I know their piece in this. They're on us yesterday, they're here today, she's ripping up yard art. You're gonna tell me that you're comfortable with that?
Oh.
Marshall looks out through the windshield, then he turns back.
We already got the security guy to think about. You want to walk into some kind of dog fuck?
Okay. Fine, what am I supposed to do about it?
Fuck.
Jesus.
She throws a bag at Christian.
Shut up.
Fucking bottles
shut at up.
Me. Fuck
both you. Both you, shut up.
In Ruth's car. Ruth looks over her shoulder. She glances at Tony.
What?
You mean what?
What's your problem?
Tony shakes his head.
It's not your lung, Tiger.
Did you hear that guy?
I heard him, but he's not the one that robbed your house, and that's not your lawn tiger. And if I'd known that this was going to be the...
I get it.
The objective of the mission...
I get it.
Wouldn't have participated.
I get it. Thanks for the backup in there.
All I've done is back you up.
Till now.
Ruth faces the road. Tony turns forward. Then he looks out of the passenger window.
It's not your long time.
Yeah. What would Jesus do, right?
The car turns. Now, Tony gets out.
Tony!
Tony waves his hand without looking back at Ruth. He walks into his front yard and continues on to the porch. Ruth watches from the car. She puts her hands on the steering wheel and drives off. At home, Ruth drops her keys on a table. She places the shoe mold on the table. She tosses the lawn tiger over the couch. A thermos falls. Ruth walks through the kitchen. She opens the fridge. Ruth grabs a beer, twists it open, and tosses the cap. She drinks. Ruth re-enters the living room and passes the open front door. Christian stands on the porch and looks through the gated exterior door. Ruth walks down the hallway and enters a room on the left. Weak light from the room shines into the hall. Ruth re-enters the hall, adjusting a jean jacket on her shoulders. She enters the living room and notices the open front door. She opens the gated front door and leans out. She scans the area. She lets the door close and shifts her eyes. Christian appears behind her.
What'd you tell my dad?
Ruth turns and drops her beer. She grabs the mold and hits Christian's neck. Christian clutches his throat. His mouth hangs open. His eyes bulge. He rushes out.
No.
Christian lurches into the street, clutching his throat. Marshall and the tattooed woman watch from the van.
Oh, fuck.
Christian staggers into an intersection. Ruth watches from her lawn as a bus approaches. Ruth covers her mouth. In the van. Ruth dials her cell phone.
I see it.
The van speeds down the street. It parks in front of Ruth's house.
Hi! Someone broke into my house! They came out!
The tattooed woman gunbutts Ruth. Darkness. In the van, Ruth stirs. She winces and wipes a bloody gash on her forehead. She looks at the blood on her hand. Then, she looks up. The tattooed woman wears a mask. She stares at Ruth and cocks her head. Ruth lays her head down. She glances up at the tattooed woman. Her eyes dart back and forth. The tattooed woman stares. Marshall turns. He wears a makeshift t-shirt mask. The tattooed woman watches Ruth.
You have such beautiful black little eyes. Okay.
At home, Tony lies on his couch. He stares into space, his brow furrowed. He stares off. Tony glances down. He reaches off the couch. He bites a slice of American cheese. Tony chews. The cheese flops over his hand. He sighs. Tony turns. Kevin sits nearby. His tongue hangs out of his mouth. Tony gets up. On the street, a man talks to an officer. Two EMTs wheel a gurney. Tony stands with onlookers behind police tape.
What happened?
Some idiot ran in front of the bus.
Tony stands on Ruth's porch. He opens the gated door.
Ruth?
Tony walks inside.
Ruth?
Tony looks down. The shattered mold lies on the floor. Tony looks around. He spots the lawn tiger. He looks back through the doorway. In the van, the tattooed woman forces bullets into the worn chamber of a shotgun. Ruth watches. The tattooed woman shakes out her hand.
Got it?
She finishes loading. Marshall looks at Ruth. He points a pistol.
You carry this one, okay?
Why? Because we're shorthanded?
Which is on you.
I think I should just stay here. I'm going to be so quiet. I promise you, okay?
No, this is what's going to happen. You're going to carry this gun. You're going to get them to open the door. And when they come to the door, you point the gun at them so that they don't do anything.
I'm not gonna
we
be
get
good
in,
at
we get what we need, and we get out, and that's it.
Ruth turns to Marshall. Her gaze moves to the tattooed woman. Ruth shakes her head.
How do I know that you're not going to...
Ruth nods toward the pistol.
You know that I will if you don't.
It's karma. For Chrissy?
The tattooed woman holds a switchblade. Now, Ruth approaches Chris's house. She holds the pistol behind her back. Ruth's mouth hangs open. Blood stains her forehead. Ruth stands at the door. Marshall and the tattooed woman stand at each side of the doorway.
Yes.
Marshall gestures to Ruth. The tattooed woman shifts her gaze.
Yes.
Hi. It's Ruth again. Sorry.
The armed guard approaches the door. He opens it. Ruth aims the empty pistol.
Please don't do anything.
Marshall enters, aims.
What?
And pistol whips the man.
Why? Don't.
Meredith enters.
Stop.
You.
I'm so sorry. This is not my fault.
You took my tiger.
Yes, I did do that, but
you're pointing a gun.
I know, but.
Meredith, do what they say.
Marshall brings the man to his feet and leads him away. The tattooed woman aims at Ruth and gestures for her to follow. Ruth complies. The woman shifts her aim to Meredith. Meredith follows. In the living room,
stop.
Marshall kicks the man onto the couch.
Don't do that.
Marshall gestures at Meredith. Marshall stalks through the living room.
This is unbelievable.
Where is he?
He's sleeping one off.
Call him.
You know, if you're here for what you think you're here for, your timing stinks.
Meredith, be quiet. Call him.
Oh, just do it, please. Please, I...
Meredith shakes her head. Marshall points the pistol.
Please call him, please.
Meredith holds up her hands.
Oh, Chris!
Marshall backs away from her. The tattooed woman stands near a wall with the shotgun. Marshall looks up. He takes a few steps forward. Chris looks down a staircase.
Is Kristen here?
No.
His van's parked out front.
In the living room. Chris's eyes widen. He steps back into the second floor hall. Marshall aims at Meredith.
He's waiting for you to come outside. You know he doesn't like me too much.
Chris descends the staircase with a pistol. He stops on a landing. Marshall turns to Meredith. She shrugs.
Cesar?
Marshall puts a finger to his mouth. The tattooed woman waits at a corner. Chris walks slowly down the hall. He spots Meredith and Cesar on the couch. The tattooed woman clutches the shotgun barrel.
fuck is going on?
Chris's gun in his hand, the shotgun fires. He falls, clutching his now bloody stump. Ruth vomits and drops the empty gun. Cesar picks it up and aims at Marshall. Marshall turns and fires. Cesar staggers. Then he charges Marshall. Ruth vomits. Cesar and Marshall struggle. Cesar pulls off his mask. The gun fires. Blood gushes from Cesar's neck. Marshall's mouth hangs open. Ruth vomits. On the couch, Meredith covers her mouth.
Okay, everybody, stop it! Stop doing that!
Marshall points at Ruth, who wipes her mouth. Marshall looks down at his crotch, which is wet. Then he turns around.
Jesus.
I know you. Marshall, right? Your name is Marshall!
Ruth's eyes dart back and forth.
You were at one of Chrissy's hearings last year.
Go ahead, get in the fireplace.
What did he tell you? That I keep cash around here? Huh? I haven't seen him in months! You amateurs! He's not even here anymore!
Bullshit.
The tattooed woman points the shotgun at the back of Chris's head.
Get in the fireplace.
Chris struggles to his feet. Marshall walks over to the fireplace. He tosses aside fake logs and a grate. Marshall points to the fireplace.
Chrissy told us about the iron in there, so don't even try that.
You got it all mapped out.
Chris kneels in front of the fireplace and eases inside. Marshall leans on the stone facade and watches him. Chris presses a keypad on a safe.
4321.
Marshall shrugs. Then he ducks inside the fireplace. Marshall takes a pistol out of the safe and pockets it. Ruth watches. Chris leans against the stone facade as Marshall rummages through the safe's contents. Meredith holds her hands up.
I'm a hostage.
Stop talking.
They kidnapped me. They did this. You thought the gun was empty. You saw.
Stop talking, bitch. This is not...
Shut up.
The tattooed woman shifts her aim from Ruth to Meredith. Meredith looks at Ruth. Marshall tosses papers out of the safe. He thumbs through certificates and tosses them aside. He drops another handful of papers. Marshall closes the safe.
Fuck.
Chris holds the collar of his robe with his bloody hand.
Where's my son?
Marshall turns, his eyes moist.
You don't have a son, buddy.
Chris trembles. His eyes fill. Marshall stands. The tattooed woman nods.
Guess that means we're done here.
No, no, no! Stop!
I'm not letting you shoot anyone.
The tattooed woman's eyes shift to Cesar's dead body.
Anyone else?
Ruth blocks Meredith.
You're gonna have to kill me first.
Okay?
She touches the trigger. A throwing star sticks out of the tattooed woman's face. In the kitchen, Tony drops the lawn tiger. The tattooed woman tears off her mask. Marshall turns. She aims at Tony. The gun backfires, blowing off her hand. Chris lunges at Marshall. Marshall shoots him in the head. The tattooed woman grimaces. Meredith runs. Marshall aims at Tony. Ruth tackles him. The tattooed woman stabs Tony in the gut. He falls. She turns around. Marshall and Ruth struggle. Ruth bites his gun hand. A bullet caroms and hits the tattooed woman in the head. She falls. Ruth presses her hand on Marshall's face. Tony holds his bloody midsection. Ruth takes the gun and pistol whips Marshall. She hits his knee. Meredith sprints down a road.
Oh God, okay, quick. Come on.
Marshall grimaces and holds his knee. Ruth pulls Tony to his feet. She holds him up and guides him out of the house. Marshall aims. Marshall crawls over to the tattooed woman's body. He looks down at her. The throwing star juts from her face. Outside, Ruth and Tony turn a corner. Tony falls.
Tony, you can't stop.
Inside, Marshall gently pats the tattooed woman's hair. He kisses her head.
Oh, you motherfuckers!
Marshall struggles to his feet. He limps forward.
Tony, come on.
Outside.
Okay,
Ruth and Tony walk alongside of the house. They turn a corner to the front. Marshall steps out and scans the front lawn. Ruth and Tony back up and turn around. Now, they run around to the rear of the house. In the distance, Ruth and Tony enter nearby woods. Marshall watches. In the woods, Ruth and Tony struggle through the thick brush. Tony stumbles. Ruth looks around. Tony falls.
I'm gonna kill you!
Ruth looks over her shoulder. She helps Tony to his feet. Now they descend a hill. Large conifer trees loom over the forest. Ruth lays Tony on a dock at the edge of a lake near an overturned boat. She steps into another boat and pulls its motor cord. She pulls again. Tony lies still on the dock. Ruth stops pulling. She turns. Ruth flips the other boat into the water, tosses Tony on a tarp inside, locks in oars, and rows away from the shore. She looks over her shoulder and then back toward Tony.
Tony. Tony. Dude. Wake up. Hey. Don't sleep.
Tony. You better keep running!
Ruth rows faster. She curls in her lips and bares her teeth. The boat reaches shore. Ruth looks over her shoulder.
I see you!
On the other side of the lake, Marshall stands on the dock and points. He steps in the boat with the motor and pulls the cord. Ruth watches. Marshall turns. Ruth looks at Tony.
Tony! Dude!
Marshall's boat leaves shore. Ruth carries Tony into the woods. Marshall's boat speeds across the water. Ruth lays Tony near a tree. She takes off his glasses. She takes off her jacket.
Just apply pressure. Keep pressure. I'll be back.
Now, Marshall reaches land. He climbs over the boat's edge and hops onto the shore. Ruth waves her arms.
Hey, front face!
Marshall fires. He limps up the slope into the woods. Ruth runs.
Let me get you off!
Marshall follows.
Run!
Ruth falls into a pond. She lifts her arm out of the water. Ruth turns. A snake moves over the water's surface. Ruth watches it and raises her hands in the air. The snake's nose probes Ruth's midsection. She looks down. The long black snake glides around Ruth. Ruth quivers. The snake slithers out of the pond. Ruth wades through the pond and reaches out to the edge. She climbs out. Ruth looks over her shoulder. She stands and runs off. Ruth darts through the forest. She climbs up an incline. Ruth hides behind a tree and looks down at Marshall.
Why don't you just leave me alone?
Why don't I just leave you alone? Okay. All right. Sure, why don't you come down here?
Marshall pulls a butterfly knife from his pocket.
And we'll shake on it.
Ruth looks over her shoulder. She reaches into the brush and grabs a rock.
You do those tattoos yourself?
Marshall looks down at his hand.
Some?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ruth scans the area.
They look fucking stupid.
She grabs another rock.
The fuck do you know? Have you ever eaten cat meat?
Ruth shifts her position.
You mean cat food?
Marshall takes a step forward.
No. The meat of a cat.
Ruth's mouth hangs open.
No, no, man. I never ate any cat meat.
Marshall lowers his head and nods.
Well, it makes you invisible. Did you know that?
Marshall starts up the slope. Ruth shifts. She inches around the tree. Marshall looks up. Ruth's face appears in the vegetation. Marshall squints.
I see where you're going.
Ruth throws a rock. Marshall tumbles down the hill. He struggles to his feet. The snake moves over the water. Ruth throws a second rock. Marshall falls back into the pond. The snake moves. Ruth watches. Ruth runs through the woods. She glances back at Marshall, then continues on. Evergreens stretch toward the sky. Marshall walks forward. The snake hangs from his face by its mouth. Ruth jogs through the thick woods. She turns around, looking through the forest. Ruth searches. Ruth stops walking, a lone figure in a sea of tree trunks. She closes her eyes. Ruth shakes her head and murmurs to herself. She looks up. Her grandmother stands nearby holding a cigarette. She wears a burgundy blazer and turtleneck. She points with her cigarette. Ruth stares. Now, she sprints through the thick forest. Ruth moves the tarp and uncovers Tony. She touches his shoulder and sobs at his side. In the motorboat, Ruth looks back at Tony's body in the other end of the boat. Ruth cries. She hangs her head. Tony lies motionless. Now, on the forest floor, Marshall crawls on his hands and knees. Dried blood covers his face. He looks up to the sky. In the police station, an officer hands Meredith a sheet. She wears a heavy jacket over her shoulders. The sheet shows Ruth's DMV record. Meredith looks up. She shakes her head. Now at his desk, the detective looks through a document. He raises his eyebrows, flips a sheet over, and closes the folder. The detective takes off his glasses, sets them down, and looks up at Ruth. A bandage covers her head wound.
Oh, and by the way, my wife and I are going to give it another shot.
Ruth stares. She lowers her gaze. Next, in a hospital room, Ruth pulls sheets off of a bed. She puts the sheets in a bag for soiled linen. Later, Ruth sits in her car. Dirt covers the edges of her windshield. She stares out. Smoke shoots out of two vertical exhaust pipes on a large pickup truck. Ruth closes her eyes and thuds her head against the headrest. At the church, Ruth sits in a pew. Her hair is cut and styled. A woman sits at the end of the pew. Other attendees sit in the pews behind Ruth. I have no friend like you. Bare tree branches stretch toward the sky. In a backyard, Don and Angie's daughter stands by a wooden fence. Ruth sits in a chair. She holds a soda. Ruth cocks her head. Angie sits next to Ruth. She forces a weak smile.
You okay?
Ruth turns to Angie. Then she faces forward. Angie faces forward.
Yeah. Just be gentle with yourself, all right? Got all the time in the world.
Ruth sips and swallows. She turns to Angie.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's just something people say.
Ruth bites her lips. She looks over her shoulder. Her lips turn up into a smile. Tony appears in a misty haze. He raises his eyebrows. Light glows behind him. Tony stands at a grill with Dan. He points at Ruth with a spatula. Kevin is at his feet. He presses burgers down with the spatula.
Okay.
These are looking good.
You don't need to push. You don't.
No, you're supposed to get the juice out of them.
No. We want the juice in the burger.
Gotta squash them down.
You wanna flip?
Yeah. No, these are, I'm telling you, these are gonna be perfect.
Credits. Written and directed by Megan Blair. Produced by Neil Kopp, Vincent Savino, Anish Safjani. Producer, Meta Marie Kongsved. Executive producers, Nick Spicer, Lee Eddy. Executive producers, Matt Levin, Ian Brick. Co-producers, Louise Lovegrove, Kyla Meyer. Director of photography, Largan Seipel. Editor, Domas Fengris. Production designer, Tyler B. Robinson. Costume designer, Julie Carnahan. Music supervisor, Lauren Marie Mikas. Original score by Brooke Blair and Will Blair. Casting by Mark Bennett. Cast, Melanie Linsky. Elijah Wood. David Yao. Jane Levy. Devin Gray. Christine Woods. Robert Longstreet. Gary Anthony Williams. Myron Natwick, Derek Mears, Jason Manuel Olasabal, Lee Eddy, Matt Orduna, Michelle Moreno. A film by Macon Blair. For Lee and Buck. Rolling credits. Cast in order of appearance. Melanie Linsky as Ruth. Chris Dubek as news radio voice. Marilyn Faith Hickey as Mrs. Hamble. Jared Roylance as Mrs. Hamble's son. Macon Blair as bar dude. Christy Miles as police officer. Gary Anthony Williams as Detective William Bendix. Michelle Moreno as Jana. Lee Eddy as Angie. Matt Orduna as Dan. Elijah Wood as Tony. Rick Jones as Yogurt Man. Jeb Barrier as Gearhead. Sheree Fox as Young Mom. Xander Willis, Kale Willis as Khaleesi. Lena Dietrich as 911 operator. Maxwell Hamilton as smoker. J.J. Green as push-ups. Taylor Toons as watermelon girl. Kayla Dixon as redhead. Devin Gray as Christian. Audrey Walker as party wife. Chris Sharp as party husband. Jane Levy as Dez. David Yao as Marshall. Myron Natwick as Killer Sills. Robin Blair as Grandma Sally. Buck Eddie Blair as Young Ruth. Josie Sade as ER doctor. Bill Blair as minister. Derek Mears as Donkey Dick. Jana Lee Hamblin as Trixie. Dana Milliken as Giggles. Ray Buckley as Sunglasses at Night. Lenka Bekvar as Chew and Dip. Degberto Rodriguez as Big Fella. Christine Woods as Meredith Rumack. Robert Longstreet as Chris Rumack. Jason Manuel Olasabal as Cesar. Music. Go Away to Paradise, written and performed by Jason Newman. I Will Never Forget, performed by the Royal Jesters, Forever My Queen, performed by Pentagram. The Ballad of Sisyphus, performed by the Giraffes. Bring Out the Bible, performed by the Texas Sapphires. Check My Grill, written and performed by the Hottest Shits. 3-Point Stance, performed by Bulletproof Moose. Hot Chili Mama, performed by Beau Soleil. Namesake Feature, performed by My New Mixtape. It Only Hurts Me All the Time, performed by Carl Straub and the Grave Robbers. History of Man, performed by Amanez. Surrender, performed by Suicide. Bring On the Dancing Horses, performed by Echo and the Bunnymen. Vomiting Mirrors, performed by Clock Cleaner. Afraid of Love, written and performed by Melly Sewell. Sweetheart, performed by The Ain't Rights. The World Is Not My Home, performed by Fern Jones. Drinking from a Swimming Pool, performed by Carl Straub and the Grave Robbers. Dum Dum Dee Dip, performed by Judy and the Affections. 6 Feet Under, performed by Bob Freifogel. Filmed in the state of Oregon with the support of Oregon Film. The production participated in the New York State Governor's Office of Motion Picture and Television Development's Post-Production Credit Program, with support from CineReach. Logos: SAG-AFTRA, AFL, CIO, CLC, Keelan Sound, Corner Camera Systems, 1619, American Humane Association monitored some of the animal action. No animals were harmed in those scenes. Trademark AHAD06287. The characters and events depicted in this motion picture are fictional. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Copyright 2016, Ruth Hart Tony, LLC. All rights reserved. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.